Hello again and welcome to Studies in the Gospels, a program that is heard every week here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McAlea, your host of this program, where each week we examine the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. At this time in our study for several weeks now, we have been looking at the events surrounding the cross. And today we are going to consider Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43, as we look at Jesus' discourse with the thieves on the cross. As we said, we'll be in Luke 23, verses 39 through 43. So let's go there now and look at our text. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." So now let's go back and examine this a little bit closer. Let us go back to verse 39. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." So we find that Jesus, after being mocked and humiliated by the soldiers and the gathered crowd, that now even the two thieves that were being crucified beside him began to join in the mockery of the Lord. Now, as we noticed last week, the ultimate irony in all of this is that by not coming down from the cross, as these people were asking him to do, by staying on the cross, he was giving them the chance to be saved. He was on the cross for the very people that were mocking him. Now let's look further at this conversation between Jesus and the two thieves. Verse 40. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." After one of the thieves joined in the mocking of Jesus, we find that the other thief rebukes the first thief. This thief realizes and states that they were well deserving of the punishment that they were receiving. But notice now, he said, "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong," as we noticed in verse 41. Even this criminal upon a cross points out that Jesus is an innocent man. And this is something that every honest person knew. In fact, even Pontius Pilate knew that Jesus was an innocent man. Notice verse 42. The words of the thief. "Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." This criminal asked Jesus to remember him when he comes into his kingdom. And the response of Jesus is absolutely stunning. Notice what the Lord said in verse 43. "And Jesus said to him, Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus Christ, the one, the only one with the power to bring them all down from the cross, tells the man that you are going to die physically this day. Because that is exactly what Jesus said when he stated, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He would not be in paradise unless he died. How can this condemned guilty criminal be with the perfect Lamb of God in paradise? How is it possible that this man, a man who had earned the wages of sin, he deserved his death, how could he be given the hope that he would be in paradise with the innocent Son of God? How is it that Jesus, in essence, tells this criminal, "Where I'm going, you are going also"? We have before us a picture of the amazing grace of God. Undeserved grace to the sinful. But what is it that separated this criminal that will go to paradise from the one who was mocking Jesus? Why did Jesus declare salvation to one criminal and not the other? What exactly was the difference between these two criminals? It was certainly not their crimes, for they were both guilty of the same crimes. It is not that one mocked Jesus and the other didn't, because Matthew, in his account, records that both of the criminals were mocking him for a time. What was the difference? The answer is that the one criminal asked Jesus to be a part of his kingdom. One of these criminals asked for salvation, and the other did not. One criminal had faith in Jesus, and the other did not. One of these two criminals made his appeal to the Lord Jesus for Jesus to do something for him, but the other would not. Now, do not make the mistake and try to claim that the criminal did absolutely nothing for his salvation, as many of our friends try to claim. For the truth is, this criminal made an appeal of faith to the Lord. And after that appeal was made, then the Lord Jesus gave him the promise that he would be with Jesus the Christ in paradise. Jesus Christ has the power to forgive sin. And let us remember that this man lived and died on the other side of the resurrection. New Testament baptism was not a command for him. This in no way proves a faith-only doctrine. In fact, what this man did is what you are doing when you confess Jesus as the Son of God, when you repent of your sins and you are immersed in water. What you are doing is making your appeal to God to be with him in paradise. You are asking Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, to have your sins removed because you are a vile sinner just like the criminal on the cross beside Jesus. All that we have to do is to beg for Jesus to cleanse us from our sins and to remember us in his kingdom as we obey his commands. Notice 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. There is also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism. Not the removal of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is in baptism that you are making an appeal to Jesus through his resurrection for a good conscience. And Jesus has the power to save immediately, to save eternally, to save you personally and to save you graciously by your faith. All we have to do is ask. For remember, Jesus did not save himself in order that you might be saved. Thoughts today from Jesus' discourse with the thieves on the cross. And so, the march continues. Man's lowest point is at hand. If the Lord wills, we'll continue our study of the events around the cross next week. At this same time, if the Lord wills, I hope you'll join me then. Don't forget, our program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time and posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. Stay tuned through the rest of the day for the programming here on the network. And again, if the Lord wills, I'll see you next week at this time. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, have a great day, and may God bless you.